titles appear. Mario and Vittorio Cecchigori present a Melampo Cinematografica production. Now, in a heavy gray-blue fog, a man carries a young child who sleeps on his shoulder. The man walks deeper into the swirling mist and disappears.
This is a simple story, but not an easy one to tell. Like a fable, there is sorrow, and like a fable, it is full of wonder and happiness.
Now a convertible passes through Green Mountains, Arezzo, Italy, 1939.
I sing what I see. Nothing gets by me. Here I am, said I to chaos. I am your slave. And he answered, good. For what, said I? Liberated. I now leave behind my chains. For what good is a caress when bliss is what I have come to find and possess? I stand here before the world. The brakes are gone. The trains will soon be gone, and I can resist no more. Sweet Bacchus, take me away. Oh, the brakes are gone.
His lanky passenger sits up.
You said that already.
No, I mean it. The brakes are really gone. Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Have you tried to stop me with a handbrake, huh?
The open-roofed car with high, thin tires careens off the dirt road, then speeds down a steep green field.
I tried to drive.
The brake. Harder.
No.
As the car bounces downhill, titles continue. Roberto Benigni presents Life is Beautiful.
Okay, turn right! Oh, no! Straight, straight!
They swerve onto a paved road, joining a motorcade, now in a decorated town.
The king is coming!
The wayward car, covered with leafy branches, barrels toward a crowd.
There's a whole bunch of people in the middle of the road!
Guido!
We have no brakes! Everybody get back! Get back!
Guido, the passenger, stands, throwing his arm out straight as he waves back the crowd. People salute him and wave miniature flags. As the car passes a brass band, Guido turns back and gapes. Behind the cheering crowd, a second convertible slows to a stop. Inside, a man in uniform wearing a sash glances up at his large wife, who sneers. Later, Guido and the driver lie under their convertible, maneuvering for position.
Why don't you go for a walk, all right? Otherwise, we won't get there until tomorrow.
I found the screw from before. Do you want it?
Ah, yes, thank you. Give it to me, please.
Good. Now what do you need?
Nothing. I don't need a thing. You can leave.
Come on, talk to me. What do you need?
I need 10 minutes alone.
So, all right, I'll leave you alone. Do you want this spring from before?
No.
You don't want it?
No, I don't want it. I just want to be alone.
All right, I'll leave you alone then.
Good.
Guido scoots out from under the car and takes off his plaid sports coat.
Really hot out here. Perugio.
Yes?
Sure you don't want that spring?
No, I want 10 minutes alone.
Guido puts on a felt hat, then looks uphill at a barn.
I'm going to go wash my hands.
Good.
Up at the barn, Guido works the handle of an outdoor pump. A young girl turns from milking a cow.
Oh, hi, pretty young lady. How are you today, my dear?
He sees baskets
look
of fresh-cut flowers.
Beautiful things. Did your mother do all this?
No, the landlady did.
Well, it's really quite something, I tell you that. May I ask, is this all for sale? Is it fresh? How much? How old are you? And where is your mother? I ask too many questions. What's your name?
Eleonora.
Pleased to meet you. I am Prince Guido.
A prince? Come on.
Of course I'm a prince. What do you mean? This area, around here, this land, it all belongs to my principate. I call this place, Addis Ababa. I'll change everything. Out with the cows and in with the camels. No more chickens, just ostriches.
Ostriches and camels?
And even a few hippopotamus, Eleonora. I have to get going. I have an appointment with the princess.
With who?
A woman falls from the barn's second floor door. She lands on Guido in a bed of hay.
Buongiorno, principessa.
How frightening. I almost killed myself. Are you all right?
Marvelous. Never been better. Bah, do you always leave the house like that?
I was trying to burn a wasp nest, but they stung me on the leg.
You've been stung by a wasp? Please, allow me.
He sucks her thigh.
Hold still, princess. Wasp poison is dangerous. Could take about a half an hour.
I'll be fine. Thanks.
Are you sure?
Smiling, they stand.
Did you get stung anyplace else?
No, thanks.
What a wonderful place this is. It's completely magical. Birds fly all around. Ladies fall from the sky. I want to move here tomorrow.
It's all his. He's going to bring camels. He says it's his principate.
Exactly. Prince Guido at your service anytime, my dear princess. I'll be right there until we meet again.
How can I possibly thank you?
There's no need. However, if you insist on thanking me, I could use some eggs to make a nice omelet for my squire for supper tonight.
Oh, please, whatever you want. It's all yours.
Thank you very much. I'll take two, six. Thanks.
He holds a stick behind his back. His hat rises from his head.
I thank you again, my beautiful princess.
Arrivederci.
Here I come, my squire.
The woman and the girl grin as he strides downhill to the car.
And remember, Eleonora, ostriches and camels everywhere!
Later, they drive through a town's dark streets.
So, where is this house?
Turn left. We're almost there.
Will your uncle be staying with us?
No, are you kidding? He lived in the hotel for over 30 years. He's the head maitre d'. He just keeps the house to store stuff. He can't fit anyplace else. Slow down. This is the place. That's Robin Hood, my uncle's horse. That's my uncle's buggy. That's my uncle's house. And inside is my uncle.
They rush from the car.
We're here, Uncle Leo. It's really late. I hope we're not too much of an inconvenience. I'm sorry we're late, but the car was...
Hey, go! Let's go!
Hey!
Three men shoved by them.
Uncle Leo! Uncle Leo!
Inside, an elderly man in a three-piece suit sits on the floor.
Are you all right?
Barbarians.
Who were those guys?
Just barbarians.
Why didn't you yell for help?
Silence is the most powerful cry. Anyway, I'm all right. Is this your poet friend?
Yes, my name is Ferruccio. I am also an upholsterer.
Yes, very good. Well, you'll have to make do here. Uh-huh. It's an old storehouse full of odds and ends. Collecting is an old passion of mine, an odd and end in itself.
Madonna, what is all this stuff for?
Antiques fill the house.
It's hard being a waiter these days, believe me. Here's the bed. Legend has it Garibaldi once slept in it. Nothing's more necessary than the unnecessary. Oh, barbarians. The town hall is on Via Sistani. You should probably go there in the morning. The bathroom is that way, equipped with the appropriate invention of Monsieur Bidet. There are a few books here, among which is The Life of Petrarch, written by Lorenzo Paolino. The kitchen is over there. There is a velocipede, also known as a bike. You'll need to put air in the tire. It's very late. I have to get back to the hotel. There's one key. Don't lose it. It's over by the door. It's a pleasure to see you. I'm coming, Robin Hood!
Guido and Ferruccio stare at the door.
What an uncle.
The next day, downtown.
Look at this. Look over there. Look at that building. Ferruccio, didn't I tell you? We're in a city here. Well, we can do whatever we want. We're completely free. If you want to do something, you just do it. If you want to yell, you just go ahead and yell. And no one's going to stop you, my friend. Stop. Ferruccio, what are you doing? Have you gone crazy?
What?
We're in the middle of a city. You can't behave like you do in the country. Come on, huh?
They walk from the piazza to a cobblestone sidewalk.
Mary! The key!
A man picks up a dropped key.
Sorry. That's okay. You see, if you yell, people throw things.
Later, in an upholstery store, two chubby twins have a pillow fight. Their father removes his black fedora as he strides over to Guido and Ferruccio.
I've been trying to tell him that for months. You have to settle down someday, Ferruccio. Oh, what a nice hat.
Guido switches hats.
How does it look on me?
Fine, but this one is mine.
So when did you want me to start working?
You are already late. Where were you? Take the armchair and take it over to the workshop, all right?
You mean that?
Yes, I mean that one.
As he turns, Guido switches hats again.
Fine. I'm going over to the town hall. I'll probably see you later.
Have a good day, then. And behave yourself, because these are hard times, my friend. Very hard times.
He takes back his hat.
Tell me, what would your political views be?
Benito! Adolf! Settle down!
You were saying?
Nothing. I said, how are things going?
Ferruccio bangs the chair.
I said, be careful with that beast!
Guido switches hats.
Got you for like
Arrivederci.
Goodbye!
The upholsterer snatches up Guido's worn fedora and runs after him.
The bum! He pulled it off! He finally got my hat! I'm not through with him, though. Benito, I'll keep
in an office, Guido straightens the stolen hat.
I'm new here, and I understand there's a whole procedure I have to go through to open a bookstore. How long does it take?
Years.
Then we better open a file so we can begin.
First you apply, and the boss of the department has to give his approval.
And meanwhile...
He reaches in his jacket pocket.
Oh, I almost scrambled all my eggs. I've had them in there since yesterday. Thank goodness they didn't break. Anyway, take a note. The following person, Guido Refice, hereby applies to...
He won't be able to sign it right now.
Wait.
A tall man strolls in.
What's going on out here?
I need your signature because I want to open a bookstore.
Did you talk to him?
Mr. Adolfo, I told him, but he's insistent.
It would really help me out a lot.
No, I can't. My substitute will be here in an hour. Ask him.
Mr. Rodolfo, all I need is a signature.
This office closes at 1 o'clock. Good day.
Yeah, but it's 10 to 1.
File a complaint.
Rodolfo breezes out the door.
Boy, what a nasty man. All I wanted was for him to put his name on a piece of paper. That's not much. Now I have to wait for the next guy who's going to be here in an hour or two if I'm lucky. I'm going to file a complaint. You write this
down. He knocks a flower pot out the window. Oh! It breaks on Rodolfo. As he rubs his head, Guido rushes out and puts his eggs in Rodolfo's upturned hat.
Oh, my goodness. Are you all right? Let me help you. Are you hurt? It was an accident. I'm sorry.
Don't touch me. Leave me alone. As for your bookstore, as long as I have a say, it'll never open.
He grabs his hat.
No, the eggs!
Guido takes off as Rodolfo pulls his hat off his slimy hair.
Come back here! I'll kill you!
Guido takes a man's bicycle.
I'll bring it back!
Guido races towards some students.
Move! Out of the way! Look out!
He collides with the teacher. It's the woman from the farm.
Hey, buongiorno, principessa.
I wonder if we'll ever bump into each other while standing up. Well, please excuse me now, but I have to run. Arrivederci, princess. Until next time!
Later at a hotel, Guido trots past a massive staircase into a large white hall. Pulling on a gray tuxedo jacket, he gapes up at the cathedral ceiling on his way to a table where Uncle Leo sits.
Broiler?
Chicken. Broilers are served whole, turned over with the breast down on the plate. Perfect. Do you mind carving it for me, please? First, I hold the blade under the wing, then I tear off the leg. And then I cut all around the rib cage, out goes a thigh, then a breast, and then...
Lobster?
Piece of cake, Uncle Leo, for the lobster. Okay. For the lobster, you cut into the breast and tear off its legs. Then you take the wing and the lobster is a crustacean. The lobster is a crustacean. Off goes the leg, the crust of the crustacean. Off goes the antenna, which we don't eat, of course, now do we? Off goes the antenna, and off goes the lobster. At this point, nothing remains. We are out of lobster right now, but we do have some wonderful chicken for you. I don't remember lobster.
It's always served fresh out of the kitchen. No need to debone or even to touch it.
That's too easy. That's why I didn't remember. I kind of skipped over the easy part.
What's after that?
Stand tall, firm and straight. Come here. Yes, ta, 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 return, ta. Wait till they need you. Waiter, yes.
Guido steps to his left and back again, one hand behind his back.
Ta, return to place. Waiter, yes, ta, ta, return to place. Why are they always calling me Uncle Leo? There must be other waiters, true? Okay, moving on. Next is bowing. That's a skill I've been practicing. So here I go.
He bends at the waist.
You bend down like this at 45-degree angle like a bottle of champagne. You can even go lower if you want. 80, 90 degrees. I imagine I could go 180 degrees if I felt like it, but how low am I supposed to go?
Leo takes his arm.
Think of sunflowers. They bow to the sun. But if you see them so low they can't straighten up, that means then they're dead. You're serving, but you're never a servant. Serving is an art practiced by the supreme being himself. God serves man, but he's not a servant.
He flips his nephew's loose bow
button.
Tie.
The button doesn't
Later,
go
Guido
there.
Guido lies
Don't
in bed with Ferruccio.
I have to take the car back to my dad. He's counting on it.
No problem. Return it in a month or so.
No, I've got to get it back soon. You know why?
Why?
Massive oil portraits flank the bed. Guido sits up and nudges Ferruccio.
Ferruccio. Ferruccio.
What? What is it?
What are you doing? Were you sleeping?
Huh? Well, of course I was.
Hey. You asked me a question a minute ago. You turned your head and went right to sleep. How'd you do that?
Schopenhauer.
Schopenhauer?
Schopenhauer says that with willpower you can do anything. I am what I want to be. And now I want to be someone who's sleeping. So I said over and over, go to sleep. And you know what? It worked.
Amazing. So simple. I'll try.
Guido wiggles his fingers in front of his face.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep.
Don't move your hands around, come on. You're not some kind of juggler. It takes concentration. It's serious. Plus, it takes time. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
He wiggles his fingers over Ferruccio's head.
You will wake up. You will wake up. Wake up, wake up. You will wake up, wake up.
What do you think you're doing?
Oh, exceptional power.
What are you saying?
Schopenhauer. I proved this theory. You were just sleeping, and I said to you, wake up! And then you woke up. I mean, this is incredible, this theory. How does this thing work?
Obviously, the more you yell in my ear, the more likely I am to wake up.
Oh, you mean I should yell more quietly, then?
You shouldn't be yelling at me at all.
I'm sorry. All right.
It's not to be spoken. Just think it.
In the morning, Guido follows him down the cobblestone sidewalk.
Slow down! Why are you running?
I told you I'm late!
I heard that!
Mary! The key!
Oh, no!
The woman from the farm walks in the piazza with a friend.
Look, it's her. It's that teacher I was telling you about. Boy, is she pretty, huh? Come on, we'll go and say hi. Look out!
Hey,
stand still!
What's wrong?
Hold still!
Why?
Don't Rodolfo move. Drives up.
The guy in the car, you see him?
Yeah.
He's that jerk, the one the eggs fell on. He'll kill me if he sees me. What's he doing?
Nothing. He's standing and talking. That's all.
What's he saying?
I don't know.
That's not good enough. What's he doing now?
I think he's leaving. Look, he's got a car just like mine. There he goes.
Hold still.
That's such a nice car.
As Guido crouches behind his stocky friend, the women approach arm in arm. Guido leaps out.
Buongiorno, principessa.
Oh, God.
You again. You are always surprising me.
This is the princess who fell from the sky into my arms.
Ah, he's the one who sucked the wasp poison out of your leg that time.
Yes. You have this amusing habit of appearing out of nowhere.
Well, I could change that. We can meet tonight around 8 if you want.
No, it's better like this.
Well, we better get going. We're late for our class.
Maybe we'll meet by chance again. Arrivederci.
Farewell, princess. Farewell. Huh? Did you see her? She's so pretty. She says she likes it when I suddenly appear.
Later in the hotel restaurant, Guido carries a silver tray to a small table, grinning at a man with trim gray hair.
No, you couldn't have.
Yes. The answer is darkness.
You're a genius.
The more there is of it, the more difficulty you have seeing it. The solution is darkness. Marvelous work. Did you make it up yourself, Doctor?
No. But you solved the damn thing in just 5 minutes. It took me 8 days. Darkness.
Here you go. Salmon, salad, and a glass of white wine.
Wait a minute. Here's another one for you, Guido.
Please. If you'll allow me, it's my turn. My dad told me this when I was a small boy. The dwarfs in Snow White sit down for a bite. How fast can you guess what she serves her guests next?
Schneewittchen bei den sieben Zwergen? That's pretty sophisticated, you know. I want to solve it right
now. You better eat first. It'll get cold.
I'd rather not, thanks. It's too late to eat.
But, Doctor, salad, salmon, white wine, it's very light.
Miss Snow White makes dinner for seven.
The maitre d' approaches.
Guido?
Yes?
Can we serve?
But everybody's gone already.
A gentleman is here from the ministry in Rome. He wants supper.
Yeah, the kitchen's closed.
Too bad. He would have given a wonderful tip.
The kitchen is now open.
A portly man enters.
Come right in, please.
Guido pulls out a chair for him.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Wearing a black tuxedo, Guido steps quickly over to the doctor.
Doctor, you don't plan on eating this evening?
Huh? No, no.
Guido steps back to the portly man's table.
Good evening.
I am aware the kitchen is closed. Maybe a cold dish, whatever you can find.
Well, everything's delicious here. Take your pick.
What do you have that's light?
Let's see. I have a steak. A big, heavy slab of meat swimming in fat, served with some greasy breaded liver and a side of kidney pie. Or maybe fish.
Fish.
Very well. We have some nice, fatty halibut. Or some mackerel, marinated in Grand Marnier and stuffed with blood sausage. Or a fresh salmon, or a...
Oh, salmon would be good, thanks.
With that comes a...
And a side dish, too?
Oh, let me tell you. There's mushrooms very, very, very fried, or buttered potatoes, braised and served with buttercream dipping sauce, or perhaps...
Do you have a small light salad with a vinaigrette dressing? If not, nothing.
A small salad for you? What a pity, because the very, very fried mushrooms were out of this world. So, a light salad, the lean salmon, and a glass of white wine.
Perfecto. As soon as possible, please.
I'll do my best.
As the doctor studies his notes, Guido takes the silver tray with his dinner, salmon, salad, and a glass of wine.
Then we go.
He sets it in front of the portly man, who gapes and checks his watch. As the doctor leaves, he pauses at the broad alabaster staircase.
How fast can you figure what she'll serve her guests next? Correct?
Correct.
She serves dinner for seven.
Rest well, doctor.
Good night, genius. Snow White.
What did he say? Snow White? Has he been drinking?
It's a riddle. The answer is 7 seconds.
7 seconds? What's it mean?
7 seconds is the solution time. We have seven dwarfs dining. Now, if you ask what Snow White is going to serve next and how fast she'll be able to serve it, the answer, of course, is 7 seconds.
Dr. Lessing is a good physician and quite a serious person, but he's obsessed with riddles. I have the feeling he goes home and loses sleep trying to solve them.
I see. Excuse me, where is the Francesco Petrarca school?
Francesco Elementary School? Why, it's very close. A friend of mine teaches there.
Perfect. That means an extra half hour sleep.
Well, I guess that means that you're going to the school in the morning.
That's right. I have to be there at 8:30.
Guido notices the ministry official's red, green, and white ribbon. Now in a schoolroom.
All right, children, settle down. We need your attention, please. The inspector from Rome will be arriving any moment. I want to make a good impression. So listen very quietly and carefully to what he says. He'll be telling us some very important things we need to know about our beautiful country.
Madam Principal, the inspector is here.
What? He's already here? He's early. Sit down, Roberto.
Guido marches in, wearing the inspector's red, green, and white ribbon.
On your feet!
The children rise. The teacher from the farm gapes as Guido strides up.
Buongiorno, principessa.
She smiles and shyly looks away.
Good morning, Mr. Inspector. I'm the principal of the school. Let me introduce you to some of our teachers.
He walks past a somber line of men and women to the middle-aged principal.
Beginning here. How many years is it now that you've taught in our school district?
16 years.
Frowning seriously, he walks on.
Are you up to date with the program approved by the school ministry this year?
Yes.
Hands clasped, Guido approaches another.
Did you read the bulletin I sent to the school regarding childhood hygiene?
Of course.
He takes a giant step toward his princess.
Are you free this weekend?
What?
Well, Sunday really is St. Mary's celebration. Are you free?
I have theater tickets.
For what show?
Offenbach.
Offenbach is playing. good. Fine, very good, beautiful. Well, thanks very much, and goodbye.
The good inspector has been sent here to explain to you about the Proclamation of Race, which has been signed by the most enlightened Italian scientist. He will, and we're very honored to have him do it, demonstrate to us that our race is really superior. The best of them all. Sit down.
Guido stands by a long table.
Go ahead, Inspector.
I'll explain our race.
Is superior.
Naturally. Thanks. So our race is superior. In fact, I just come from Rome, and right this minute, to come and tell you so there won't be any confusion, my friends, that our race is definitely superior. I was chosen to deliver this message by racist Italian scientists in order to illustrate to you how superior a race we really are in this world. You may be asking yourself, why did they pick me?
He leaps onto the table.
I think the answer is obvious, wouldn't you say?
He turns slowly like a model.
Who could you find that would be a more handsome specimen? I am the ultimate example of racial purity. You're impressed? Well, of course you should be. In front of you stands a man who's clearly descendant from pure Aryan blood, my friends. Take me. Let's start with the folks who say, what's all the fuss about? The ear. Why the ear? Well, take a look. Like fine china, it's perfectly formed. Above the earlobe, you find the auricle, with the little precious pendant bell, which you can wiggle with your finger. Or you can wiggle the entire ear. It's movable cartilage. Find two ears prettier than these, and I'll leave here immediately.
Kids wiggle their ears.
In France, they dream about ears like this. Ha! Believe me, races exist. It's part of life. But I want to show you something about our particular race, and it's really wonderful. Pay attention.
In a hallway.
He said inspector.
Inspector.
From Rome.
Yeah, Rome.
The portly inspector.
The belly button!
In his underwear, Guido pulls up his shirt.
Take a look at this belly button! It's tied so hard you can't get it loose, even with your teeth! Those racist scientists tried it and they ended up with lint in their mouth! This is an Italian belly button, kids, and it's part of our heritage! Check out this style, folks! Look at the muscles I have on me!
At the door, the inspector gasps.
Triceps! The body's beautiful! And you got to admire these hips. They move right and left.
Arms in the air, he dances.
Fantastic! Look how my legs operate. Children,
He sees the inspector.
Gentlemen and ladies, I must say goodbye now because I have to go. I have an appointment I just remembered, and I really can't be late. I'll make an Aryan farewell, but once again, before I go, the Bellabogan!
His teacher smiles.
Goodbye, princess. I'll see you in Venice.
Clutching his clothes, Guido jumps out a window. Now on a stage, a gondola glides in from the wings, carrying two women in glittering red satin costumes. One is dressed as a Venetian man and holds the hand of the other. Balcony, Guido's princess peacefully watches the stage. Below, Guido gazes up at her. Sitting sideways in his seat, he stares without a blink. A soft glow highlights her dark olive-shaped eyes and fine angular features. Next to her sits Rodolfo. Next to Guido, a broad-faced woman stares ahead at the stage. As Guido shines an enraptured grin just over her head, she looks at him.
You see, I can only hear out of my left ear.
She nods tightly, then turns back to the stage. Guido turns with her, then snaps his gaze back to the balcony, where the young teacher rests her clasped hands on the rail. A modest hat holds back her soft brown curls.
Won't you look at me, princess? I know you can do it. Look down at me, princess, right below. Turn toward me.
With a placid expression, she stares at the couple on stage, who step hand in hand along the length of the gondola. Guido locks his gaze upwards.
Turn this way, princess. You can do it. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Turn to me, princess. Turn around, turn around.
He raises his hands and wiggles his fingers.
Turn around. Turn around. Turn to me, my princess.
Slowly, she turns to her left and gazes down, finding Guido's face locked in amazement, his hands frozen in the air. With a slight shift, she acknowledges him with her eyes. As Guido's date turns toward him with a flattered smile, he wiggles his fingers awkwardly, then faces the stage. Later, rain pours down on the opera house. In the lobby, a crowd weaves around Rodolfo and the young teacher.
Can we get a chocolate ice cream?
Yes, darling, but we'll have to be quick about it.
Why?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. We have to be at the prefect's at 8 sharp. We are invited to supper.
To where?
At the prefect's.
Have pity, Lord. I am forsaken. Not another dinner at the prefect's.
By the way, your mother's invited.
Oh, perfect.
Why don't the two of us go to dinner? We'll stop by the prefect's afterward for coffee, okay?
I will not go.
All right, I get the message. I'll tell him we're not coming. It'll just be you and me, all right?
An older man walks up.
Oh, good evening, Rodolfo.
Good evening, Mr. Prefect.
So I'll see you later on at my house for dinner. I'll expect you both today.
That's very kind of you. We'll be there at 8 sharp.
Perfect.
As Rodolfo grins after him, she gives him a kick.
Ah!
Now, Guido walks with Ferruccio.
She has to be here.
I'm the sure upholsterer finds them.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Be on time tomorrow,
yes.
Got it?
Yes, Mr. Nardi.
Ah, did you unload the stuff from the car?
Yes, sir.
It's silk. Don't ruin it. Huh?
No,
it
Mr. Nardi.
Cost a bundle.
Guido eyes the man's hat.
Beautiful opera, beautiful.
Say, is that one of your curtains?
Which one?
Guido snags the upholsterer's black fedora from a table and runs off.
He did it to me again, that bum.
Outside.
Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute, it's boring. Bring the car around to the front, please.
It's just a block away.
Guido eavesdrops.
I'll go get it. When I come back, I'll pull up to the curb and honk the horn.
Ferruccio, give me the key. Give me the key. Don't give me the house key. Give me the car key.
I have it.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Wait a minute, the car? What's wrong
with
you?
It's okay, I'll watch it. Keep him busy. You know, the jerk, the ex-fella. Just keep him busy until I make my getaway, all right? Ciao.
But the silk is in the car. Be careful.
Ferruccio dashes after Rodolfo as Guido runs off with the car keys. Later, a car pulls up in the downpour. The pretty young teacher gets in and slams the door. She checks her face in a little mirror as Guido drives her off.
The least you could have done is come get me with the umbrella. You are just plain rude, Rodolfo. Look what a mess I am from being in the rain. Plus, if there is one thing that drives me crazy, it's having these dinners at the Prefect's.
Guido grins.
I knew it. I'll be hiccuping all night. I always get them when somebody makes me do something I don't want to do. It doesn't take much to make me happy. I think I'm easy to please. A cup of chocolate ice cream is fine. Maybe two. A nice walk together and let nature take its course.
She looks at Guido.
Ah!
Buongiorno, principessa!
But this is incredible. You owe me an explanation.
No, you owe me an explanation. But it's true. I'm sorry, but I stopped under a roof and you fall from the sky into my arms. I fall off my bike and you're waiting there to catch me. Finally, I do a school inspection, and before I know what's going on, you're right before my eyes. You're even in my dreams. Please leave me alone. I must tell you, it appears you may be seriously obsessed with me. Not that I blame you, but even so.
She smiles.
All right, I give up. It's fate, I guess. Where should we drive, princess? The ocean? Do you like the sea?
Yes, yes, I love the sea. But now you better take me back to the theater. What's the matter?
Excuse me, princess. But would you happen to know how to turn the windshield wipers on?
Oh, God! Step on the brake!
As the car jerks to a stop, its convertible roof flips off.
It's broken.
The steering wheel.
When did you learn to drive?
About 10 minutes ago.
You need another lesson.
The top won't close.
The door won't open.
She yanks on the handle.
We're stuck. We'll get out of here, princess. I'll take care of it. The most important thing is that you don't get wet. Here, princess, cover yourself with this. Take it. Hurry. Okay. We'll get out of here now. Here we go.
She takes the steering wheel by its long pole, and he puts a velvet pillow on it like an umbrella.
Okay. Here we go. Be careful, princess.
As she steps out, the back of her dress tears away.
Here we go. There we are. Oh, wait, princess. There's the big puddle. Wait here. You'll get your feet wet.
The car is wedged between two pillars. Guido gets out a large roll of red silk cloth, then hurls it down broad marble steps like a carpet.
After you, princess.
Where are we going?
Don't you remember? We've already been here together.
We were? When?
That night when it was raining, I made you an umbrella out of a pillow. It was a beautiful night. I put the steering wheel on my shoulder, and then I did a little waltz. And when I stopped in front of you, you kissed me.
In an alcove, Guido holds the pillow umbrella and twirls around her. He glances at the back of her dress.
Princess, your cute little behind is showing.
She reaches back. Later, as they stroll, she covers her behind with the pillow.
It depends on the person. My father was like that. He had the ability to make me do anything, you know. Maybe it was because he understood me. I was just like Patty in his hands. And every time I'd say yes.
You mean that this precious treasure that you are hiding within this jewel box, is there a way to unlock this jewel box and convince you to say yes to me?
It's even easier than you might think. You simply need to have the right key.
Where is this key exactly?
Heaven only knows.
He glances up at a window.
It's clearing up.
Wait, so you were saying, I mean, the key that always makes you say yes, that it has to come from heaven, right?
Yes.
That's perfect. I'll give it a try. I suppose the Virgin Mary could hear a prayer and send the key my way.
He folds his hands.
Mary! The key!
Guido catches it as it falls from a window.
Is this it?
She gapes. Later, they walk on.
Do you really have to go home? What about the chocolate ice cream? Let's go get some now.
No, not now.
Then when?
I don't know.
Well, are we going to let heaven decide that too?
No, for heaven's sakes. Leave Mary alone. Don't bother her over a chocolate ice cream.
He spies Dr. Lessing walking
toward
them.
It's much too important. We can't leave something like ice cream to chance. I have to ask her. Mary, please send someone to tell us how long before we'll be allowed to have this chocolate ice cream.
7 seconds. I'm certain of it.
Smiling, Guido unfolds his hands as she drops her pillow. Later, by a gated home.
Here, this is my house.
It is? You know, I've gone by here 1,000 times. I've always wanted to open up my store right out front.
The bookshop?
Yes, then I'd see you every day.
Well, goodbye. You have been so nice to me. All I want now is a hot bath.
I forgot to mention,
Yes?
You can't imagine how much I feel like making love to you now. But I'd never tell anyone, especially you. Someone would have to torture me to say it.
To say what?
that I want to make love to you now. Not just once, but as often as we can. But I'll never tell you that. I'd have to be crazy to confess that I want to make love, even here in front of your house for the rest of my life.
Her eyes soften.
Go. You should run before it pours again.
Good night, princess.
You're all wet.
Well, the suit is nothing. It's the hat that bothers me. I need a dry hat, but where can I find one? It's pretty late.
Your prayer. I'll ask for it. Mary! Please send someone to give my friend a dry hat.
The upholsterer parks a bicycle and walks over. He takes back his hat and puts the worn fedora on Guido's head.
Buonasera, principessa. Arrivederla. La, la, la,
la, la, la. As she gapes at his dry hat, Guido twirls away with his pillow umbrella, waltzing down the length of a high stone wall. Now the hotel's grand hall fills with formerly dressed people. Guido spies Rodolfo and hides his face behind a huge ostrich egg.
Excuse me, waiter. The restroom?
Past the bar on the left.
Now, in a spacious bedroom draped with satin, the young teacher lies in bed with her eyes closed. Her mother stands with a maid.
If you don't get up immediately, I swear on your father's deathbed, I'll never speak to you again for the rest of my life. I'm serious, my dear. I'm going to count to three now. And if you still won't get up, I'll have to force you. One.
She opens one eye.
Dora.
Her mother flings the covers off, revealing Dora's beaded evening gown. Dora sits up. She gets out of bed.
Good girl.
At the hotel.
Oh, by the way, have you heard who's getting married?
No, who's getting married?
Didn't I tell
you?
No. That creep, the ex, fell on me.
Ferruccio doubles over.
What a joke.
You're serious? Who's he marrying?
I don't know. But I don't think she's coming. She hasn't even shown up yet. Everybody's been standing
Guido.
Around.
What?
I've been looking for you everywhere.
What is?
Your uncle.
My uncle?
Something just happened. You have to see.
Where?
Outside. The horse.
Outside, Guido runs to Uncle Leo. His horse is painted lime green.
What happened to your horse? What a sight. I can't believe it. What did they write on him?
Achtung, Jewish horse. Oh, my God.
The usual barbarians and vandals. It's pretty depressing. And complete nonsense. They have no respect.
Oh, Uncle Leo, don't get upset. They just did it because they...
No, this wasn't just a mindless prank. They were sending a message. I think you'd better get used to it, Guido. They'll start with you eventually.
With me? Oh, Uncle Leo, what could possibly happen? The worst they could do is undress me, paint me yellow, and write, Achtung Jewish waiter. Come on. I didn't know the horse was Jewish. I swear it. Let's go. I'll clean him up tomorrow. Is that okay? Come back inside now.
He takes his uncle's arm. Inside, Dora, wearing a glimmering pink beaded dress, frowns grimly as she enters the large hall with her mother, who smiles and glides toward a crowd, a white fur stole around her shoulders. As Guido skips down the broad staircase in his waiter's tuxedo, Ferruccio stops him.
Hey! Guido, look! What? Near the front desk!
No square!
No!
Dora! But... wait, I'm gonna surprise him.
As Guido holds out his arms and approaches, Rodolfo swoops in. Guido stops.
That would be so nice
Dora,
of you.
Guido
Dora,
picks up an urn of flowers and hides.
Come with me. I want you to meet Fido Giovanardi.
Who?
Fido Giovanardi.
Rodolfo drags Dora past the flowers. Dr. Lessing watches from the front desk.
Guido!
Hey! Dr. Lessing, where are you off to?
I got an important telegram. I must leave immediately for Berlin. Oh, what are these flowers?
They're for you, for your departure.
Tell you what, I'll take one. I'll give it to my wife, Guido's flower. I truly enjoyed myself with you, Guido. You're the most amazing waiter it's ever been my fortune to know.
Thanks, Doctor. I have to say you're the most cultured customer I've ever met.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Dr. Lessing.
And by the way, if you utter my name, I won't exist anymore. Who am I? If you utter my name, I won't exist anymore. I won't exist anymore.
What did he say?
Guido turns to the front desk clerk.
It's silent. Brilliant. If you say the word, it's not that anymore. It's silence.
Now, Dora sits between her mother and Rodolfo at a long table set with crystal and china. The principal faces them.
Third grade. Listen to this word problem. Really, it's quite shocking. The problem. Supporting a lunatic costs the state 4 marks a day. Supporting a cripple costs 4.5 marks. An epileptic, 3.5 marks. Figuring the average of 4 marks for each day, and considering there are 300,000 of them, how much would the state save if these individuals were simply eliminated? Eradicated.
Dora.
Completely unbelievable. That is exactly how I reacted. Completely unbelievable. I can't believe an elementary school child is expected to solve something like this. It's a difficult calculation. The proportions, the percentages. They'd need some algebra to solve these equations, right? That would be high school material for us.
No, no, it's just multiplication. What did you say it was, 300,000 cripples?
Yes.
300,000 times 4. We'd be saving around 1,200,000 marks a day if we killed them all. It's easy.
Exactly. Bravo. But you're an adult. In Germany, 7-year-olds aren't giving these problems to work out.
As Dora and her mother exchange a glance, two waiters set a large platter by Rodolfo.
Buongiorno, principessa.
What did you say?
I said, buongiorno, principessa. See, it's right here on the cake.
Dora stands, her lips set resolutely in a soft smile. She looks around the crowded hall. Couples from tables surrounding hers take to the ballroom floor as orchestra players dressed in white tuxedos take up their instruments. Dora remains at her empty table.
Dora, Dora, why are you just standing there? Come on, let's go. Let's go dance.
Rodolfo pulls her by the hand, waving across the hall as they step onto the dance floor. Red, green, and white confetti drops like snow. As the grinning Rodolfo leads Dora through a turn, she glances past his broad shoulder, searching the room. The couple slow to a stop and step back from Dora and Rodolfo. Guido walks into the hall holding a tray of bonbons over his head. As he spies Rodolfo, his smile fades.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Just a couple of things, since you pretty much know it all by now and have known it for several years. Dora and I, we were born on the same block, went to the same school together, and had many of the same friends. In short, Dora is the woman of my life, and I am the man of her life. And so, we've made the decision to get married within a few months, and you're all officially invited on April the 9th to the Basilica of Santa Maria del Pellegrino. Then we'll have a celebration where we eat, drink, and dance till dawn, and everyone can feel happy, just the way we feel tonight.
Dora glances down as her mother beams. Ferruccio makes a face. Stunned, Guido wanders with his tray. As Rodolfo plants a kiss on Dora's cheek, Guido trips.
Guido, what's wrong with you, eh?
Nothing.
You all right?
Fine, fine, I'm fine. Hey, who put this archer right here in the middle of everything?
Guido, are you all right?
Ferruccio kneels with a white poodle.
I'm so sorry, Guido.
No, I'm all right. It didn't hurt.
No, I meant...
How's the party going?
Everything is fine.
Bravo, bravo. Go back. I take care of all this. Sure, go ahead. I'm fine. Sure, go ahead. Thank you. Okay, let's go.
Glancing over his shoulder, Guido scoops bonbons onto his tray. Uncle Leo rushes in and looks up.
Guido.
What?
Are you all right?
I'm fine, I'm fine. Why is everyone asking?
On his raised tray, Guido balances the poodle.
No. Everything seems to be fine. But why don't you just go back to the kitchen?
All right.
Guido?
Yes?
The kitchen?
He gestures in the other direction.
They moved everything around tonight. Look where they put the kitchen, for heaven's sake.
Poodle held aloft, Guido strides through the crowd toward the kitchen. At the long table, one of Rodolfo's friends covers his eyes.
Peekaboo, peekaboo. Guess who, Rodolfo?
Who is it?
It's me. What's the matter? You gone soft?
Bruno. Signorina, we finally have a chance to meet each other. His manners are atrocious. You were scared to introduce me, eh, you sly dog?
Now you don't need to come with us to the brothel
anymore. I'm sorry for disturbing you, and so, felicitations.
Be happy, you sly dog.
Dora frowns. At a nearby table, Guido spills a tray of sweets.
Excuse me. Terribly sorry.
Dora breaks into a wide smile as he ducks down to pick up his mess. With a glance at her preoccupied partners, Dora slips under the table and crawls toward Guido. His long face brightens.
Principessa.
You're here as well.
Pulling along an organza wrap, she crawls down the length of the table to Guido. Without hesitation, she kisses him. Drawing back, she steadily meets his gaze.
Please take me away.
She crawls back to Rodolfo's legs, then looks at Guido and smiles warmly. As he waves his white glove, she scoots up to her chair. Guido quickly gathers up her organza wrap. A violinist stands.
If I can have your attention, we present this magnificent offering to you in honor of this singular occasion. The ritual cake of Ethiopia!
Four black men dressed in khaki uniforms carry a two-tiered cake topped with a five-foot-tall ostrich. A squat man in a dark uniform clicks his heels and raises one arm in salute. Applauding, Rodolfo tips his chin in a dignified pose as Dora stares off blandly. Dora's mother smiles admiringly at the candle-lit cake. Draped with a mirrored saddle, the ostrich holds an egg in its mouth. The four men, directed by Uncle Leo, place the cake behind Dora and Rodolfo. With a broad grin, Guido rides in on Uncle Leo's lime green horse. As party guests back away, he circles the room. He takes a bottle of champagne from a guest and rides past the man in uniform, who maintains his rigid salute.
Oh, thank you! Music, maestro!
Guido rides up to Rodolfo's table and hands him the champagne.
Here's to you.
Thanks a lot.
If you would, princess.
She hesitates.
But he's...
Hurry up now, please, princess.
Eyebrows raised, she glances around at her guests, then narrows her eyes and stands resolutely. As she climbs onto the table, Rodolfo holds his finger in the air, examining Guido's face. Dora sits side-saddle in her beaded pink gown. Rodolfo glances at Dora's mother as his fiancé and Guido ride out of the great hall on the lime-green horse.
I'm sure I know.
The champagne cork pops, striking the ostrich egg, which breaks on his head.
It's that jerk who broke the eggs on me!
Golden yolk drips down Rodolfo's face as he climbs over the table and runs out.
Dora!
Dora's mother stands, a look of crushed disappointment on her face. Later, by a fountain in front of Uncle Leo's house, Guido lifts Dora from the horse and leads her by the hand. At the side door, he checks his pockets.
No. Oh, Ferruccio. He's got the keys to the house. I can't believe this is happening.
As Guido tugs on the door, Dora drifts off toward a greenhouse.
I need some wire. I can open it if I get some wire. Here, sir. I can do amazing things with wire, princess. My father taught me how. I used to make toys out of wire when I was a kid.
At the top of the greenhouse stairs, Dora looks back at Guido, then walks into the lush foliage. Guido jimmies open the door.
Princess?
Staring after her, he slowly follows a gravel path to the greenhouse, passing a bank of purple flowers at the door. Now, a little boy wearing overall shorts, a cap, and leather shoes runs out of the greenhouse pulling a toy tank.
Joshua! Joshua!
Joshua! Let's go! You're going to make Mommy late.
Dora stands on the gravel path with Guido, who holds a bicycle.
I was looking for my tank.
All right, don't worry. We'll find it. Let's go. Sit in here. Where did you leave it anyway?
It's on the stairs.
Dora picks up Joshua and sits him in the handlebar basket as Guido gets the toy tank.
You think I know what it was hiding by now? Here.
Now they ride toward the piazza.
Hey, hot time, Joshua!
Slow down! You guys are crazy!
You're gonna be late for class!
Dora smiles. Their bike races past a group of people who pile sandbags against a statue.
Joshua!
Right now!
Hey, relax!
Guido's suit jacket flies out behind him as he steers down a narrow cobblestone road. At the bottom, they pass another sandbag statue and stop.
Here we go.
See you tonight.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, Dora. Ciao.
Go fast, Papa.
Well, just this once.
Later, they walk past marching soldiers wearing gray uniforms and metal helmets. Joshua runs to a store window.
Can we buy this for Mommy?
How much does it cost?
15 liters.
It's probably just a fake cake, like your tank. Come
Joshua on, points to a sign above the cake.
No Jews or dogs allowed.
Come on, Joshua, let's go.
Papa, how come Jews and dogs aren't allowed to go in that store?
Because they just don't want Jews or dogs to go in. Everybody does the same thing. There's a hardware store just up the street a ways. They've done the same thing. They won't let Spanish people or horses in their store. Further up ahead, you find a drug store. I was with a Chinese friend of mine who had a kangaroo. I said, may we? No Chinese or kangaroos here. What can I tell you? Some people just don't like it.
But we let everybody in our bookshop.
No, we're gonna put up a sign too. Is there anybody you don't like?
Spiders. And you?
I don't like Visigoths, so starting tomorrow we're gonna write no spiders or Visigoths allowed. Okay.
Later, Joshua draws at a table in the bookstore as two tough-looking men walk up, wearing suits and fedoras. Guido drops some books as one man comes in.
Good morning.
Everything's for sale, half price.
Mr. Arefice?
What is it you want?
You have to come to the prefect's.
What do they want now?
He just went.
Let's go.
Well, what did I do?
Outside, the other man stubs his cigarette on the window.
Are you with that man?
Yes, let's go.
All right.
I want to come with you, Papa.
No. You mind the store. This won't take long, will it?
Not long at all.
See, I knew it. Oh, make sure the customers are treated well, eh?
As Guido gives him a wink, Joshua twists up his face and winks back,
hello.
Then runs to the door. Flanked by the men, Guido walks down the street, then turns back and takes silly high steps for his son, cranking his arms up and down. Joshua smiles, then picks up the fallen books. Dora's mother steps into the bookshop. Watching the little boy intently, she smiles.
Buongiorno.
Joshua takes a seat and watches the older lady as she steps round the shop. Wearing a floral dress and a broad-brimmed straw hat, she scans the shelves behind his table, then gazes at his soft pink cheeks in profile. Turning away, she runs a quick hand over a shelf of pamphlets, then looks back at Joshua, who gazes up at her with big brown eyes, studying her with a serious expression. She smiles.
How much is this?
It cost 5 lira.
Ah, no. It says here, 10 lira.
Everything is half price.
She takes a folded paper from her purse.
Will you take this to your mommy and tell her it's from Grandma?
I don't really know Grandma. She's never come to visit us.
Have you been wanting to meet her?
Yes.
You'll meet her tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes. Because tomorrow is your birthday, and your grandma wants to get you something special.
Would it be a new toy tank?
No. It's a surprise. Give the letter to your mommy. Ciao, Joshua.
Grandma, you forgot to take your change.
She stops and stares out the door, then turns with a smile and walks back to the table.
Grazie.
Later.
When are you coming home?
In an hour or so. I'll have Uncle Leo bring some leftovers from the hotel for tomorrow.
Ciao.
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 When? What did Grandma say?
She's coming tomorrow.
On the shop's metal security door, painted letters read Jewish Store. Later at home.
It's time for your bath, Joshua.
I don't want to take it.
No arguments. Take your bath.
I just took one on Friday.
That's right. You took one on Friday.
And you can go change your shirt.
I changed it on Thursday.
Don't forget the flowers, eh?
They're outside. They're ready. I'll go get them.
I want to come with you, Papa.
No, you have to take a bath. Go. The water's getting cold, Mr. Stubborn.
I don't want to take it.
Hurry up.
Wearing only his underwear, Joshua runs to a small nightstand cabinet with a missing floor. He opens the door and hides inside.
Where do you want the flowers?
Just set them down. I'll be right down.
All right.
Guido steps slowly to the nightstand where he set his flowers and opens the door to his blonde-haired son.
Shh, I took one on Friday.
Guido closes the door, Joshua? As Dora comes in.
Joshua! Have you seen Joshua?
No, he must have gone in there.
Listen, can you clean up that mess soon?
Certainly.
The flowers are so pretty. May I see?
They're beautiful. I'll bring them to... You want to see the flowers?
Yes.
I'll get them to come over to you.
He wiggles his fingers.
Calling the nightstand. Come here, nightstand. Schopenhauer, willpower. I want the stand to move toward me. Come.
Joshua walks, bringing the nightstand and flowers with him.
This little nightstand looks awfully dirty.
Joshua jumps out.
Buongiorno, principessa!
Later, Dora drives her mother in Uncle Leo's carriage.
He can already read and write for quite some time now. You did a good job.
Here we are. Let me help you down.
I'm fine. I can manage.
They leave the horse and carriage at the fountain, then walk around to the side door. Dora stops in the gravel path. Her mother rounds the corner carrying a gift, then stares with Dora into the ransacked house. Food and flowers lie in a heap at the base of an upturned table.
Dora, what's wrong?
Blinking, Dora steps back from the open door. On a highway, soldiers sit at the back of a canvas-covered truck, which spews blue smoke as it accelerates through the mountainous region. Inside, well-dressed men and women stare glumly as they rock back and forth. Uncle Leo looks across the cargo area at Guido and Joshua.
Are we there?
No, it's just a crossing. Come on, Uncle.
Guido puts the little boy on his knee.
Will you tell me where we're going now?
Hey, what do you mean where? Come on. Come on, you must have asked me 1,000 times already. We're going off to, we're going to that place, help me out.
It's a place,
Where are we going?
Wait a second. It seems to me this is a special day for you. Isn't today your birthday? You always said you wanted to go on a trip and see things, so here we are. It took me months to plan this. Are you kidding? You know what? You're gonna be surprised. Oh, I can't do it. I promised Mommy I wouldn't tell you, and you know how she is. She'll get mad, right?
A girl with a cat smiles
and
faintly.
It makes me laugh. You know, my papa planned something like this for me when I was a little kid, like you. And it was funny to me because, like now, we were going... Don't make me say it. I don't want to tell you. I want you to see it for yourself. It was really a surprise, you know. It makes me laugh.
I'm tired, Bob.
You go to sleep, then.
The boy curls up in his father's arms.
Uncle Leo, where are we going? Where are they taking us?
In the back of a sedan, Dora fixes her large brown eyes on a group of soldiers outside a train station. At a train, civilians toss luggage onto cattle cars. Those standing inside help pull small children on board. A line weaves past soldiers. Uncle Leo, Guido, and Joshua at the rear.
Here
we are. Just as we planned it, and we're going to be leaving right on time. What organization, huh? You've never been on a train, have you?
No, isn't nice.
It's really nice. You'll see. It's all wooden inside, and there are no seats, so everybody gets to stand up the whole way.
Why aren't there no seats?
What? Seats on a train? No, it's obvious you've never been in one. No, everybody stands real close together. Are you kidding me? Do you see how big this line is? I got us the last few tickets that were even available. Let's move. Let's go, Uncle Leo. I wouldn't want them to say, all full, too late, this train is full. Wait up, fellas. Hey, we got a reservation.
Uncle Leo climbs into the crammed car.
Oh, well. Here we go, Joshua.
Guido lifts up his son, then climbs in.
Here we are. We made a reservation, you know. Thanks a lot.
The heavy doors close. Dora is inside the station.
How may I help you, madam?
There is an error.
How's that? An error?
My husband and my son are on that train.
What's your husband's name?
Orefice Guido.
Orefice Guido.
The officer flips through his papers.
Also, Orefice Joshua and Orefice Eliseo are on the train. There's no error. What error?
I want to board that train, too.
A soldier walks in.
We're set to go, sir.
So send them off.
Go on! Move out!
The officer frowns at her.
Return home, madam. Please.
Wait. I want to get on that train.
The officer stops, his back to Dora, as the train leaves the station. Turning, he regards her, his eyebrows raised.
I believe I was clear. Stop the train.
His steely eyes lock hers. Then he steps outside and waves down the track.
Halt! Halt den Zug an!
Dora's gaze flickers as the train stops. The officer stares back at her, then takes slow, deliberate steps inside and gestures for Dora to proceed. Wearing a tailored red suit, she walks past him onto the platform. Her purse hangs from the crook of her arm. On the train, Joshua spies her from behind an iron grate.
Mom's here!
Dora.
They stopped the train to let Mama get on.
Taking quick steps in her high heels, Dora crosses the platform and walks over one set of tracks to a waiting cattle car filled with people. Two men hold out their hands to Dora and help her onto the train.
Losfahren!
As the train leaves the station, a column of black smoke rises from its engine. On the platform, German soldiers watch the train roll down the track and on through the Italian countryside. Nighttime. Inside a grim walled-in compound, lights throw stark shadows against concrete buildings. A train track bisects the bare courtyard, cutting through an archway below a towering gatehouse. There, three headlights appear in the darkness, and slowly, a train rolls into the compound, its plume of smoke tinted blue by a swinging spotlight. Pulling completely into the courtyard, the train stops and sits. Daytime. A German officer, his jacket unbuttoned, stands at a second floor window in the sun, sipping coffee and looking down on the courtyard where soldiers supervise a mass of passengers finally exiting the train. Men and boys walk down ramps on one side, women and girls on the other side. Up by the engine, a male and female officer stand side by side. Uncle Leo staggers down a ramp. Guido follows, holding his sleeping son. Guido passes Joshua to his uncle.
Uncle Leo, Uncle Leo, take it.
Guido rushes to the first break between train cars and glances through to the other side, then dashes farther down the long train and jumps between two other cars. He leans out, surveying a long line of women.
Come behind me!
Dora!
Disheveled, she stops and looks back.
Dora!
Dora brightens for an instant, then walks on as soldiers shove Guido back. Running, Guido rejoins Uncle Leo. Joshua hangs his head, and Guido takes his hand.
Here I am.
He's tired.
Yeah. Hey, Joshua, did you see this place? It's really something, isn't it?
Papa, I didn't like the train.
I didn't like it either. We'll take the bus back, okay? Hey, all you soldiers, on the way back, we're gonna take the nice big bus, the one with seats. I told them.
That's better.
I think so. There, you see, they have everything organized here. Do you see all those people? They're lined up outside, trying to get in. They're even cutting in line, they want in so bad.
Will you tell me which game, Papa?
Of course. I should have told you this before. The whole thing is a game. It's that game where, we're all players, right? You know what I mean? It's all organized very carefully.
Halt!
The rules are the men are over here and the women are over there. Then there's the guards. They give us our schedules. It's pretty hard. They make it complicated. If someone makes a mistake, well, they get sent home right away. Right away. That means you have to be very careful. But if you're real clever, you win first prize.
What's first prize, Papa?
Well, you know, first prize.
A brand new tank, Joshua.
But I already have a tank.
No, but this one's much better. It's a real one. It's new, and it works.
A real one? No.
Yeah. See, that's why I didn't want to tell you.
An officer claps Uncle Leo on the shoulder and points off to the side.
Du! Du! In Baracke 18!
Where's Uncle Leo going?
He's on another team. It's all organized, you see? Bye, Uncle Leo.
Ciao. Boy, a real tank.
Later, Guido and Joshua walk into a large single-room building lined with three tiers of rustic wooden bunk beds. Men wearing striped pajama-like uniforms warily glance up at the new arrivals.
Eh? Wasn't I right, Joshua? Look, it's wonderful. What a great place. Well, we better go before they take our beds. Hold on. We got the reservation.
He picks up his boy.
Here you go. Coming through. Coming through.
He finds an empty shelf-like bunk bed.
Where is it? There it is. We can sleep real close. It's perfect. Joshua.
This place smells. How come we have to stay? I want to see Mommy.
We will go. Come on.
I'm starving.
We'll be served soon.
Plus, they're always yelling. They're really mean here.
Well, they yell because first prize is so good. Everybody wants to win the tank, so they have to be tough.
How much longer till I see Mommy?
When the game's over, you'll see her.
When is it finished?
It's finished when you make many points. The tank goes to whoever can earn 1,000 points first.
I don't believe you. Are we getting something to eat soon?
A meal? Well, we'll just ask. We're all friends here. Look who's here. It's what's his name?
Bartolomeo.
Bartolomeo, can I ask you a question? Did the man who hands out the bread and jam come by already?
Bartolomeo nods.
Can you believe it? I guess we just missed him by a second. He'll come back, though, when he returns for a second round later today.
German soldiers stride in.
Achtung! Ruhe! Gibt es hier einen Italiener, der Deutsch spricht?
What did he say?
He wants somebody who speaks their language. He's going to explain the camp rules.
Guido raises his hand. The officer beckons him.
You speak German?
No.
Wearing a gray suit, Guido stands next to the officer and stiffens just like him.
Alles Herren, ich sage das nur einmal.
The game starts now. If you're here, you're in. If not, you're out.
Ihr seid nur aus einem einzigen Grund in dieses Lager transportiert worden.
You have to score 1,000 points to win. If you do that, you take home a tank.
Um zu arbeiten.
Lucky dog.
Standing on a dusty bench between rows of weary men, Joshua grins.
Hinrichtungen finden auf dem Hof durch Schüsse in den Rückenstand.
Each day we will be announcing who's in the lead from the loudspeaker there. The one with the least points has to wear a big sign each day that spells the word Jackass right on his back.
Wide-eyed, Joshua covers his mouth. Around him, men look at one another.
We get to play the part of the nasty guys who yell all the time. Anybody who's afraid loses points.
The officer holds up three fingers.
Erstens, versuche nicht zu fliehen. Zweitens, folge jedem Befehl ohne Fragen. Drittens, jeder Versuch eines Aufstandes wird mit dem Tod durch Erhängen bestraft. Is that clear?
There's three ways a person can lose his points. They would be as follows. One, turning into a big crybaby. Two, telling everyone you want to see your mama. Three, if you're hungry and want us to bring you something to eat, forget about it.
Guido peeks at the officer, who turns his stern face back to the crowd.
Es wird niemand etwas geschehen, der die Vorschriften befolgt.
It's very easy to lose points here for being hungry. Just yesterday, I was penalized 40 points because I was so hungry that I had to have a jam sandwich.
Gehorsamkeit ist alles.
Apricot jam.
Noch etwas.
He wanted strawberry.
The officer puts a finger and thumb in his mouth as if whistling.
Alles raus auf den Hof, aber schnell.
And don't ever ask for any lollipops because you won't get any. We eat them all.
Antreten in Zweierreihe.
I ate 20 of them yesterday.
Schweigt.
What a tummy ache.
Jeden Morgen.
But they were good.
Is a pill.
You bet.
So, das wurde
Joshua smiles, his mouth open with delight. The soldier points to the window.
Die Dimension des Lagers leicht begreifen.
I'm sorry I have to leave, but I'm playing hide and seek, and I have to go before I get caught.
As the officers leave, prisoners shift on their feet and glance around. Guido wipes his forehead, straightens his jacket, and walks back to his son.
Hey, what's going on?
No. Don't ask me anything. I don't speak German. Ask Bartolomeo. Don't forget to tell me what he said, too.
1,000 points.
1,000 for the tank. Isn't this fun?
Later, Guido carries a huge anvil.
This must weigh 500 pounds, and it's about 3,000 degrees. Vittorino, I can't cope anymore.
It's just your first one.
What? How long do we have to do this?
Oh, till midnight.
I'll never make it. Oh, Bartolomeo, what's wrong? Where are you going?
Infirmary. I hurt my arm.
A cut bleeds.
Oh, my God, we're going to die here, Victorino. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to put this down. I'll tell them I can't do it. What can they do to me?
They'll murder you.
Huh?
They'll murder you.
Blowing out his cheeks, Guido rises.
Where do I take this?
There.
You must be joking. All the way with this thing, I'll never make it.
His face fixed in a grimace, Guido staggers with a line of men toward a sparking furnace.
Victorino, it's got to be 10,000 degrees in here.
Later, weary men shuffle into the barracks, where Joshua sits alone on a wooden bunk. As they fill the barren room, Joshua eyes their grimy striped uniforms. The men collapse in their bunks and sleep. Joshua stares at the empty doorway. A German soldier appears in the doorway.
Ned?
Guido lurches into the barracks. His arms in the air, Joshua runs to his father. Guido's knees buckle under him as he picks up his son and staggers to their bunk. Guido gently puts Joshua down, then models his grimy uniform.
Hey, how about this? It's nice, huh?
He has a yellow star on his shirt.
Don't worry, we're all signed up. I stopped over at the office. When I got there, guess what? The referee pulled me aside and said, "No way, you and your son aren't on the list, the dues aren't paid." Imagine him telling me that. I almost fell over. I was so angry and upset. And then this guy says, "You can go." And I said, "No, you go. Joshua and I signed up." I told him I want my number. So, of course, they gave me one right away.
He points to his forearm.
Look at this. I had them put it here, too, to be safe. That's something. What a place this is. I've never had so much fun. Listen, did you play with some of the other kids?
Yes, but the other kids don't know about the rules. They say it's not true that first prize is a tank. And I'm the only one who knows about the points.
Of course they said that to you. They want to be sure that they beat you. They're so sneaky. But Joshua, they just want the tank. Don't you fall for that.
How many points did we make so far today?
Today we made around 50. Well, 48, to give or take. They took 2 points, because... Well, I tripped. I was playing a hopscotch. I tripped, you know. I fell all over, and we laughed like crazy today. I died laughing. Boy, did I have fun. I can't wait to start over again tomorrow. Hopscotch, tug of war, ring around the rosy. Every game. I don't even remember all of them. Stop, I can't play anymore, I said. Did you eat today?
Yes, but I didn't even ask for a snack.
Bravo! That means that you were able to earn 12 points. 48 for me, 12 for you. That's 60. Hey, at 60 points, we already won a prize, and just wait till I show it to you. A plain piece of bread with no jelly on it, Joshua.
He unwraps a crust of bread, and Joshua chews on it.
Thank you. It's 60 points a lot.
Are you kidding me? 60 points? That's enough to put us in front.
Bartolomeo comes in holding his arm.
Hey, look who's here. Bartolomeo. Everything work out?
Any worsen. I've got 20 of them now.
He climbs up to his top bunk. Joshua whispers in his father's ear.
We got a whole lot more.
Shh. Don't tell him that. We're gonna beat everyone.
Now, women prisoners pass a guard. Dora, a drab scarf covering her head, walks behind a white-haired lady.
Halt! I already told you! Get back inside now! Old ladies and children don't work! The rest of you, downstairs!
Los. Dora walks on.
Let's go, girls! Quickly! Mach schnell!
Los, let's go!
That one's new. Downstairs. She learned Los. Right away. Los. The lady upstairs who let us out, she seemed nice at first. Now she's the worst of all.
At least she didn't send the old ladies and children to work.
Listen, they don't send old people and kids to work because they murder them. One of these days, you're going to hear someone calling out, "Come on, kids, come on, let's go. Time for a shower." They end up in the gas chamber.
Wide-eyed, Dora stops on the stair landing and looks out the window, jostled by a passing line of women.
Down the stairs! Loose!
now in the ironworks.
How can I do this? Vittorino! Where do they find all these animals?
Papa!
Joshua runs in.
Joshua! How'd you find us? You're not allowed to be here! Go away! Why aren't you out playing with the other children?
I heard the soldiers tell the kids that everybody has to take a shower. And I don't want to. I just want to play.
You have to take a shower.
No!
Yes!
No, I won't do it.
You heard me. Now get going.
What's happening here, Papa?
A vat of red-hot iron swings
we're
by.
We're making, the prize. Making the tank. We're all working on its tracks. It was supposed to be done by now. It's going slow, but it's fun. We're really busy. You have to leave. Get going and take a shower.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want
to
do it.
You better listen to me now. If I tell Mommy, you'll lose 10 points. Now, go over there and hide. We'll go back together when I'm done. Now, stay out of sight. It sure is fun.
Now, prisoners crowd a room.
Aufsehen! Alles aufziehen oder aufhängen! Nach der Dusche bekommen die Kleider zurück! Los!
Uncle Leo takes off his suit jacket.
Los! Remove it all! Take everything off. Hang your clothes over there. You'll get them back after the shower.
Forward. Older men and women slowly remove their clothes alongside children. Holding a whip, a young blonde woman in a guard's uniform enters. She trips, and Uncle Leo stoops to help her up.
Children will shower together.
Oh, did you hurt yourself, miss?
Standing, she locks Uncle Leo in a hostile gaze, then walks on. Slowly, he unbuttons his white dress shirt. Back in the barracks, Bartolomeo clears out his top bunk.
Thanks, Bartolomeo. Joshua, from now on, you're gonna have to hide here the whole day. If they see us now, it's over. We're disqualified.
What do I have to do?
Nothing. You have to stay. Vittorino, help me out. You have to hide here the whole day, understand? Don't let anyone see you, especially those mean guys who yell all the time.
Joshua takes the top bunk.
Remember, you have to stay hidden. I know it's the hardest part. But if we get this right, the tank is ours. It's worth 120 points. I'll take you to work every day and hide you. You disappear. Who are you? I don't know you. I've never seen you before. You're gone. Got it?
Joshua hides.
Joshua.
Grinning, he peeks over the bunk's plank wall.
Hey, I got you.
Joshua ducks back down.
Bravo.
Now, in a cavernous cement-walled room, women sort through a mountain of clothes separating men's clothing from women's clothing. Wearing a striped prison dress and her hair in a drab gray scarf, Doris searches the pile as her hands mechanically sort the clothes. The kitten from Joshua's transport truck climbs over the clothing. Outside, men carry pickaxes.
Achtung, Achtung! Der Osteingang bleibt für einige Tage geschlossen.
Guido pushes a wheelbarrow filled with dingy clothes and wood-handled tools. Alarmed, he looks down at the shifting cloth. As his work crew rounds a corner, Guido steadies the wheelbarrow and looks around with a wavering smile. He spies a soldier leaving the open door of an office. On the desk sits the microphone for the public address system. Guido puts down his wheelbarrow and glances warily around. On tiptoes, he steps to the open door.
Anybody here? Am I disturbing anyone? Bitte? Bitte?
Guido leans toward the wheelbarrow.
Joshua! Come here!
Joshua climbs out from under the dingy cloth and runs to his father at the PA microphone. Guido taps it.
Buongiorno, principessa!
Last night, I dreamt about you all night!
Dora looks up from the mountain of clothes.
You were wearing that pink dress that I really like. You're all I think about, princess. You're always in my heart.
Dora walks slowly to the warehouse door. By the massive doorway, Dora stares up at the sky. A sad smile plays on her pale, thin face. Later, Joshua sits in a top bunk in his undershirt.
Papa, are they dry yet?
Yes. Let it dry. Here. Catch.
Guido tosses up clothes from the radiator as a crew of men come in, soaked from a steady rain. With a look of sweet contentment, Joshua pulls on his sweater. Bartolomeo staggers in and shuts the door.
Hey, Bartolomeo, where's Vittorino, Alfonso, and all the others?
They didn't make it.
A female officer strides through the door. Joshua dives down in his bunk. The men walk out into the rain, pulling on their striped tops. With an impish grin, Joshua peeks. His father shoots him a look, and Joshua ducks back down. Now, in a high-ceilinged, cavernous room, a man wearing a long white lab coat makes his way down a line of skinny, bare-chested men. Moving with the doctor, a woman takes notes. Soldiers watch from a small desk. Reaching Guido, Dr. Lessing blandly checks his prisoner's eyes without a glimmer of recognition. Astounded, Guido stares back at his friend. As Lessing frowns and approaches the next man, Guido moves his mouth, searching for words.
If you say my name, I'm not that anymore.
What?
It's silence.
Dr. Lessing's mouth twitches as he meets Guido's intense gaze.
The Grand Hotel.
He looks from Guido's eyes to his thin, naked torso.
Guido.
Eyebrows raised, Guido gives a faint nod. Dr. Lessing smiles, then turns with a frown.
Franz!
He walks off to confer with a soldier.
Thomas.
Later, Guido returns to the barracks, drenched.
Guido! Where have you been? We were worrying about you.
They're half crazy. I mean, they're half crazy, all of them. The man who does the checkups, the captain, he's a friend of mine. I used to be his waiter at the Grand Hotel. He said they're having a dinner with all the officials and their wives. It's a pretty big deal. He asked me if I was available to wait tables for these people. I hope the man's trying to help us. Maybe he could get us out of here.
He climbs up.
Joshua, listen, we need...
He looks around the top.
Joshua! Bartolomeo, where's Joshua? Where can he be... Joshua!
The boy peeks out from under the bottom bunk.
Joshua! What are you doing? Come here.
No.
Come on out of there.
No.
Don't tell me no. Come on out to Papa.
He sits him on a bench.
Come on out here and I'll look at you. You're all dirty. What are you doing?
Where have you been?
I told you, I was playing that game of Rami.
They make buttons and soap out of us.
What are you saying?
They burn all of us in the furnace.
Where did you hear that?
A man who was crying over there, he said they burn us and make us into buttons and soap.
Joshua, come on, you think that's true? You really believe all that stuff?
Come now, I presumed you were a kid who was very intelligent.
Buttons and soap out of people, that's completely absurd. That'll be the day. You really believe that? Just imagine. Tomorrow, I get up and wash my hands with Bartolomeo. He would make some good suds, huh? Then a button up with Francesco.
He pulls off a button.
Hey. Look, I just lost Giorgio. Does this look like a person or what? Go on. You fell for it. They were just teasing you. Buttons and soap. What more did they say?
That we get cooked in a furnace.
Joshua studies him with a frightened pout.
They burn us up in the oven.
They burn us in the oven? You're too much. You believe everything they tell you. Come on now. I've seen a wood oven, but I've never seen a man oven before. Hey, I'm out of wood. Okay, take this lawyer. Let's put him in. Hey, this lawyer isn't dry enough to burn. Look at all the smoke he's making. Come on, Joshua. It's ridiculous. Button soap and ovens. Let's be serious for a second. I have a sack race with the bad guys tomorrow, and I need your advice to,
Okay, Papa, that's enough. I want to go home.
When?
Right now.
But it's raining now. You'll come down with a fever of 110.
I don't care. Come on.
Fine with me. You want to go, we go.
He climbs to the top bunk.
Well, we'll just get our stuff and we'll get going, okay?
You mean it?
Certainly, we can leave any time. What do you think? They force people to stay? Wouldn't that be something? That'll be the day. Okay, let's pack up all our bags and get out of here. I'll carry all the heavy stuff. Too bad, we were in the lead for a while. Now we'll be off the list. Oh well, I'm sure some other kid will enjoy playing with that.
There aren't other kids, Papa. I'm the last one.
Don't be crazy. The place is full of kids. We came in with a bunch of them.
Where are they then?
What do you mean? They're all hiding. They're not supposed to be seen. This game is serious, you know.
I just don't get this game, Papa. How many points do we have so far?
687, give or take a few. But I've told you this already. Come on, let's go. We're in first place, but if you want to go, it's all right.
We're in first place?
Yeah, first place. I told you. Anyway, we're quitting. Come on. I saw the scores yesterday, but it doesn't matter anymore. Oh, ciao, Bartolomeo, Joshua and I are leaving. We're fed up. We'll see. Oh, by the way, that big tank is ready. But remember, before you move it or even start the engine, be sure to clean the spark plugs. And open up the throttle, because if you don't, the tracks won't work properly. And polish the cannon. That really came out beautiful. Oh, and before you take off, you better test the brakes. All right. Me and Joshua are leaving. He wants to quit the game, so we're gonna go. Too bad. We could have gone home in a big tank, but we'll take the bus. Ciao, everybody. Me and Joshua are leaving now. We're tired of this place, so we're heading back home.
Holding their tin bowl, Joshua stops and watches as his father walks out into the pouring rain, then turns and looks back in.
Joshua, let's go! Let's go!
But it's raining. I'll come down with a fever over 110.
He turns and runs toward their bunk. Guido rolls his eyes with a pleased grin and steps back in. Now, bright sunlight warms the compound's courtyard where a graceful convertible with narrow, white-walled tires pulls to a stop. Officers, ladies in civilian clothes, and children get out of the car and greet other officers. A soldier salutes, throwing his arm in the air. A boy leans against a building, hiding his eyes. Other children start to run and hide. In a dining room, Guido carries in a silver jelly jar. A khaki-colored uniform hangs loosely on his thin frame. He starts to close a window, then stops. As Guido looks down at the children playing, his eyes brighten. Now, alone in a top bunk, Joshua wears the tin bowl like a hat and bangs on it. He puts it in his lap and pats it. The door opens and Joshua dives down. His father enters with an excited smile.
Joshua! Joshua! It's me! It's Papa! I have to tell you something important. Come
here. Outside, they run.
That little rascal has been running from me since this morning.
Is there really a kid?
What? There must be 2,000. They're like mice. They're all over the place. Those creeps want the tank. Stop, stop.
Guido presses Joshua against a building, then spies.
I think I have him spotted. Looks to me like he's nearby. Here, go look. Go see if he's hiding in that box. You be careful. I'll stay and keep an eye out for you.
Joshua opens a tall metal box with a slotted door.
Shh! Mach die Tür zu! Hier bin ich! Papa, he's there! He's there!
Yeah? Did he have brown hair?
Yes!
That's the one I saw. His name is, Schwanz. He's been in there for 3 weeks earning points. But since you found him, he's been eliminated. Eventually, we'll find the others.
How many are there?
They're everywhere, hundreds of them. It's just that they're all out of sight.
Also, Kinder! Kinder!
From around the courtyard, children run to a nanny.
Kinder!
Papa, look there!
Kinder!
I know, it's their hideout.
Come!
Got you! They're all out. Come on, let's go!
The German nanny sees them.
Hey, Kleiner! Come here! Ich hab gesagt, alle rein!
Oh no, we've been spotted.
Does it mean we lost?
No. Listen, she's coming over to get you. Now you have to stay very quiet. You're never allowed to speak. It's part of the game. Do you understand? Swear it.
Muss ich noch lange warten?
Swear it.
I swear.
Joshua kisses his own hand.
Kommst du endlich?
It'll be fun. They all talk strange. You can't understand a thing. So always be quiet, all right? Listen carefully.
The nanny stalks over.
We're real close to winning first prize. You know, they're rounding up everyone in first place. So play the silence game. Not a word, Joshua. Not a word.
She grabs Joshua's arm.
Genau, der schmutzigste von allen. Komm jetzt.
Why are you here with the children?
He was over at the...
Shut up! You are not permitted to speak! Understood?
I swear.
She drags Joshua off. Skipping to keep up with her, the boy turns to glance back at his father, who gives him a wink. Joshua winks back. Later, a boyish-faced soldier wearing white gloves and a khaki jacket clears plates from the children's dining room. In an adjoining adult dining room, Guido brings coffee to a table, then glances toward Dr. Lessing, who doesn't acknowledge him. Nearby, a gray-haired officer glares into the children's room.
Schluss jetzt, Peter und Gretel! Esst und seid ruhig!
As the irate officer sits down, Joshua glances at a girl and boy who sit at his table. Pleased by their silence, he grins and stuffs a pastry in his mouth. In the adjoining room, Dr. Lessing turns away from his dinner partner, catches Guido's eye, then drops a fork. Guido kneels, bringing his head close to the doctor's.
I must talk to you. It's very important.
When?
Where? I'll give a signal. Watch for my sign.
As Guido leaves, Lessing smiles apologetically at his partner. Later, Guido helps the boyish-faced soldier pass out pastry to the children. As Joshua gets a plate, he beams up at the young man.
Thank you.
As Joshua covers his mouth, Guido freezes. The soldier studies Joshua.
Wie hast du gesagt? Ja, ist der Kleine.
Guido shoves a plate toward the waiter, but he turns on his heel and strides down the hallway, disappearing around a corner. Fear on his face, Guido checks after him, then dashes back to the children. Back around the corner comes the waiter with the German nanny, who storms into the dining room where Guido instructs the children.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I told you, speaking to the children is prohibited. Jetzt. Esst nochmal, ihr Kleinen, aber in Ruhe.
She strides off, and the waiter returns to his duties. Guido steps carefully back to the officer's room, where Lessing talks with a well-dressed, middle-aged woman. As she leaves, he holds out his glass, darting a nervous glance around the room. Guido rushes over and pours him a drink, his eyes locked on Lessing's.
Doctor, you know my wife is here.
A German officer approaches them.
Lessing! Ja, was ist denn los? Komm, amüsiere dich heute Abend.
Smiling, an officer leads the doctor away to another table. Dr. Lessing shoots Guido a beseeching glance. Smiling, Guido rushes into the children's room. Joshua's cheeks bulge with food.
Eat slow. Eat slow, Joshua. It's bad for you. We're in the lead. We just might leave early if things work out, okay? The game is almost over, son. Don't make a mistake now that we're in the lead. Don't make a mistake. Eat slowly.
With his mouth full, Joshua chews and stares as his father leaves the room. Guido stands in a doorway watching Dr. Lessing, who turns from the bar. A swastika hangs over it. Lessing drops a decanter. Guido steps in and wipes the counter as Lessing shoots a furtive look around the room.
It's important, so pay attention.
Guido nods and continues to wipe. Lessing narrows his eyes and glances around.
Heavy, heavy. Ugly, ugly. All yellow in reality. If you ask me what I am, I respond, quack, quack, quack.
Guido's mouth drops open as he stares at the doctor, who steals another glance around the room.
When I'm walking along, I go, poo-poo. Tell the truth. I am who?
He regards Guido closely, then nods, smiling assuredly.
It has to be a duckling, right?
Guido nods, transfixed.
Isn't it a duckling? I am assured it is not. A veterinarian friend of mine sent it to me from Vienna. Of course, I can't send him mine until I solve this one. Duck-billed platypus? I thought that's what it was. But it doesn't go quack, quack, quack. All it ever makes is this stupid... So it's not a platypus after all.
He leans close.
I translated it from German for you a few days ago.
His eyes widen in collusion.
Well, how about it, Guido?
Everything points to a duckling.
Guido swallows and looks down.
You have to help me, Guido.
A frown tightens Guido's face.
For heaven's sake, help me. I can't sleep anymore.
Faint tears trail down Lessing's weathered cheeks. Guido holds his gaze, then looks down as the doctor faces the swastika, muttering.
Yes, yes.
Guido purses his lips and leaves.
It's got to be the duckling!
At a table in the children's room, Joshua rests his blonde head on his folded arms. A girl and boy on either side of him talk quietly. Guido watches from the doorway. His disappointed gaze turns to a slight smile and he leaves. In the officer's dining room, Guido steps over to the Victrola and lifts the needle from a finished record. He leaves the record on a table, then pauses. With his white gloves, he gingerly picks up another record and studies its label. As he glances around the room, Guido's eyes twinkle, a faint smile on his lips. He slips the record below the Victrola horn and swings over the arm, setting the needle on the record's outer groove. Guido straightens, then steps over to a window. With a glance back over his shoulder, he pulls it open, then swings the Victrola horn around to face the night. Below, a blue mist cloaks the barren courtyard, fenced off by barbed wire. Harsh beams of light slice through the fog. Along a high wall, the blue mist curls around tall, barred windows, dimly lit and dark with soot. Inside, dozens of women wearing striped prison dresses lie shoulder to shoulder in crate-like bunk beds. On a lower level, Dora rises and walks to a window. Moving slowly, as if mesmerized, Dora swings open the heavy window and looks toward the sky. A soft, moonlight glow bathes her smooth face in a pale, milky light. In the brightly lit dining room, Guido grins out the window, his hands clasped behind his back. At her window, Dora raises her eyebrows. Staring at the sky, her eyes slowly well up with tears. She swallows to hold them back. Outside in the blue mist, Guido hides by an open door.
Joshua! Joshua! Come here! Here.
Joshua runs into his father's arms.
I'm tired.
I know. It's okay.
The boy drops his head on Guido's shoulder. Together, they move through the thick fog.
Where are we now, Joshua? I might have taken us the wrong way. You dream sweet dreams for us, Joshua. Maybe all this is really just a dream. That's what it is, Joshua. I know in the morning, Mommy will wake us, bring us two nice big glasses of milk and coffee and cookies. First thing we'll do is eat. Then I'll make love to her two or three times. If I can.
Heavy blue fog obscures the dim silhouette of Guido and his son as he walks on, then disappears. Out of the mist, Guido's face appears, wide-eyed with disbelief. Asleep, Joshua clings to his neck. Guido's mouth drops open as he stares at a mountain of twisted skeletons, looming 20 stories high in the blue light. Arms cupping his son, Guido backs away. Now, small bonfires dot the courtyard, busy with transport trucks and running soldiers. One walks with a dog. In the barracks, Guido lies in a top bunk, one arm around Joshua. Raising his head, he frowns, then covers Joshua with a blanket and gets up. Other men cluster by the window.
Excuse me, Bartolomeo.
Shh. They've called these two officials over 20 times from headquarters. I figure they escaped.
Can you understand what they're saying?
You don't need to speak German. The war's over. They're in a complete panic.
And those trucks, where are they going?
Hey, the important thing is to keep away from them completely. They leave full and come back empty.
You get where they're going?
What about the women? What's happening with them? What are we doing? We should get out of this hellhole before they find us. It's not like we have any bags to pack.
I've been hearing machine guns for a couple of hours. I figure they're getting rid of the evidence.
Listen, Bartolomeo, I'm leaving right now. I'll see you in Venice. We'll start an anvil factory together. So long, guys, I'm leaving.
Later, Joshua and Guido hold hands and run along the side of a building. At the corner, Guido picks up Joshua, then dashes across the courtyard to a pile of crates. Crouching, they watch German soldiers running in the firelight.
Joshua, come here. Look how mad they are. They're furious.
Joshua gapes.
You see? They're looking for you out there. That's why this is going on, just for you. The fact is, you're the only one left that's still in the game. They're looking everywhere. They're desperate. Tomorrow morning, the game is over, and they'll present the awards. If they don't find you, if you keep from being discovered, it's worth 60 points.
How many points do we have already?
We have around 940 points, plus 60.
First place.
First place. We win. Mamma mia, boy, are those guys ever mad. So no mistakes tonight. This will determine the winner. You go over there right now and hide in that box.
What about Spots?
What?
Spots, the boy with the brown hair, Papa.
Right. I forgot he was caught yesterday. He was eliminated. So it's the safest place to hide because no one will look there again. You ready? Let's go, quick as lightning. One, two, three, go! Go!
Crouching, Guido runs with Joshua and pulls open the slotted door.
Take this blanket in case you get cold. Here, take it. I'll be back soon, Joshua, very soon. I'll throw them off track. I saw him over there!
Guido sprints away from the closed metal cabinet and turns down an alley. Reaching another courtyard, he stands on a crumbling wall and spies around a corner as women prisoners walk in a line toward a transport truck. Full, the truck drives away and another pulls in. Guido races back down the alley to Joshua's box.
Papa, you scared me to death. What are you doing here?
Joshua, give me the blanket. Do you feel cold?
No.
Let me have your sweater, then. I'll put it on a tree and make sure I throw them off track, okay? All right. It's amazing. You should see how they're all looking for you out there. Everybody's screaming. Where is Joshua? They're even cursing. They're really mad. But don't worry. No one will find you. I'll make sure of that. I have to go. I'll be back. Listen, Joshua. If I'm late getting back, please. Don't you move, all right? Don't come out. You're not to come out. Listen to me. You're not to come out until it's completely quiet with no one around. You must stay in the box. Do you understand? Repeat it for me.
I won't come out of here until no one's around.
Bravo, Mr. Stubber.
He kisses Joshua's forehead.
Ciao. Ciao, Joshua. Bye.
Clutching the blanket, Guido dashes across the courtyard. Later, alongside a building, he rolls up his pant legs, revealing his knobby knees. The blanket hangs like a skirt around his waist. His eyes widen in alarm as he looks across the courtyard. A guard dog strains on its leash, jumping at Joshua's box as a group of soldiers talk.
Get away from there. Find another crate. Leave that one alone. Go away, dog.
He moves his fingers through the air.
Find another crate. Find another crate. Find another crate. Leave here. Leave here. Leave here. Leave here. Leave. Leave.
The officers and dog leave.
Bravo, Ferruccio. It works great.
Guido wraps his son's tiny gray sweater around his head like a scarf and runs off. In his bulky skirt, he races along a crumbling wall, then stops at a corner and peeks around at a crowd of women advancing toward a truck. Guido runs in among them and rushes through the ranks, searching.
Is there anyone named Dora here? Dora! Dora! Dora!
Guido darts away from the group and runs under an archway. Peeking out of the dark shadows, he jumps back as a searchlight swings by. Guido bolts across a smaller courtyard to a tall grilled window. Grabbing the iron bars, he climbs, then swings his legs up to rest on a brick archway that frames the window. The searchlight glides by just below his feet. Guido climbs back down, then runs awkwardly along the building in his woolen blanket. He sprints upstairs and stands in the doorway of an abandoned barracks room.
Dora. Dora, are you in here? It's Guido. I know someone's still hiding in here. Is somebody named Dora here?
Clutching his skirt, Guido turns and runs downstairs. Outside, he races up to the back of a crammed transport truck.
Is there somebody named Dora here? She's Italian. She's my wife.
Yes,
Dora.
There is someone named Dora here. Dora!
Dora! It's Guido, Dora!
I am Dora.
No, that's not her! Is there another Dora? As soon as you get out of here, jump out of the truck! Get off! Jump out!
The truck pulls away, exposing Guido to a female officer. Guido desperately looks left and right, then dashes off. A male soldier takes chase. Guido clings above the grilled window. The searchlight swings by his feet, striking Guido's drooping blanket, then moves up to center him in its beam. He drops his legs to the iron bars and climbs down, then falls in a heap. A soldier moves in and stares at Guido's face, wrapped in a little boy's sweater, then raises his gun. Guido throws up his hands. An officer.
Was machst du? Nicht hier. Bring ihn an den üblichen Ort.
Zu Befehl. Steh auf. Bewegung.
The officer points, and the soldier forces Guido in that direction at gunpoint. Guido nonchalantly passes a bonfire, then tries to run. The soldier darts after him, and Guido slows. Glancing to his right, Guido spies Joshua's box and stops.
Los, geh los!
Joshua peers through the slot in the door. Guido gazes back with a proud smile, then winks. Joshua winks back. Guido raises his knobby legs and takes silly high steps for his son. Around the corner, the beefy soldier wags his gun at Guido, who ends his silly walk, slumps his shoulders, and shuffles along. They head down a broad alley laced with shadows. Beyond a stairway, swirling mist glows an eerie blue. Guido turns back, giving the soldier a tight-lipped grin, then walks on, swinging his arms at his sides. They round another corner and disappear from view. The soldier trudges back, shifting his machine gun strap. Fog floats in the empty alley. Daytime. Smoke wafts from a chimney as military jeeps filled with German officers race through the courtyard. A transport truck slows down to let more soldiers board. Spraying white smoke in its wake, the truck follows the officers' jeeps through an archway at the base of the lookout tower. Piles of cardboard smolder along the train tracks which bisect the courtyard. Slowly, the white smoke clears, floating beyond the towering walls. The compound stands empty in the dull light of an overcast morning. People wearing striped uniforms appear, small against the lofty walls. Without a word, dozens of men and women trudge into the courtyard, moving toward the archway. One woman drapes her arms around another and limps. Two rail-thin men meet in the middle of the courtyard and hug. Others stagger off course, glancing up at sooty windows. The group advances onto the tracks, passing through the archway into a yard, where a train sits abandoned. The slotted metal crate stands against a wall. Faint smoke rises from debris in the courtyard. In the crate slot, a small hand appears. Joshua opens the door and steps out. His wide brown eyes scan the deserted courtyard. A few small flames linger on a smoldering pile. To his right, a mountain towers above a low-chimneyed building. Taking soft, sneaky steps, Joshua looks around him. Below his shorts, dirt smudges his skinny knees. He steps out of the shadow of an imposing building into a path of pale sunlight in the center of the courtyard. With his eyes trained on the ground, he does a little spin. Papers blow around him. Joshua's arms hang loose at his sides as he takes it all in. His face brightens a little, and he looks down the far end of the courtyard. A tank rolls around the corner. Joshua's eyes pop wide and his mouth drops open. The big green tank, emblazoned with a white star, rolls to a stop just a few feet away from the boy.
It's true!
A hatch opens on the top of the tank and a soldier climbs out wearing a helmet and green fatigues. Smiling, he looks down and takes off his helmet.
Hi, boy.
Joshua smiles, his blonde hair shining in the sun.
You all alone? You're not afraid, are you? Don't just stand there. Come on up here. We'll give you a lift. Come on. Come on, get up here.
Joshua trots over to the massive tank and tries to climb. The GI hops down and pulls Joshua into the air.
There you go.
Later, standing in an open hatch, the GI smiles and holds Joshua, who wears his helmet. The tank labors down a dirt road carved into the side of a mountain. Lines of men and women in striped prison clothes weave alongside a caravan of military jeeps. Ahead of the tank, the line of prisoners stretches beyond the bend, well down the road. Grinning in the sun, the GI tickles Joshua, then gives him a piece of chocolate. On the jeep ahead of them, an American flag snaps in the breeze. Chewing, Joshua turns to his right. His face brightens.
Mama!
The GI looks into the tank.
Stop!
He pulls off Joshua's helmet.
Mama!
Joshua holds out his arms as the soldier lifts him over the side. On the ground, the boy turns and runs.
This is my story. This is the sacrifice my father made.
Joshua! They embrace.
Joshua!
This was his gift to me.
We won!
Yes, we won!
Sitting on the grass, she
it's
holds
true.
Him.
We got 1,000 points, and we won the game! Daddy and me came in first, and now we won the real tech! We won! We won!
Gripping her son, Dora leans back with a broad smile as Joshua throws his hands in the air. Fade to black. Opening titles continue, starring Roberto Benigni, Nicoletta Braschi, Giustino Durano, Sergio Bustrick, Giuliana Lajodis, Amerigo Fontani, Pietro da Silva, Francesco Guzzo, and Raffaella Leberoni, with Giorgio Contarini as Joshua, with the participation of Marisa Paredes and Horst Buchholz, production sound mixer Tullio Morganti, sound editors Benny Atria and Silvia Moraes, assistant director Gianni Arduini, camera operator Roberto Brega AOCI, production manager Attilio Vitti, production design, costumes and art direction Danilo Donati, film editor Simone Paggi, director of photography Tonino Delicoli AIC, music by Nicola Piovani, story and screenplay by Vincenzo Cerami and Roberto Benigni. Line producer, Mario Cotone. Produced by Elda Ferri and Gianluigi Braschi. Directed by Roberto Benigni. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service WGBH Boston. Described by Carol Hostutler. Read by Chloe Lehman. Major funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. For more about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at wgbh.org/DVS. End credits roll. Production services by Pacific Pictures STL. Cast, Roberto Benigni as Guido, Nicoletta Braschi as Dora, Giorgio Contarini as Joshua, Giustino Durano as Uncle Alessio, Sergio Bustrick as Ferruccio, Marisa Paredes as Dora's mother, Horst Buchholz as Dr. Lessing, Giuliana Lajudice as the principal, Amerigo Fontani as Rodolfo, Pietro da Silva as Bartolomeo, Francesco Guzzo as Vittorino, Raffaella Laborini as Elena, Claudio Alfonsi as Rodolfo's friend, Gil Baroni as prefect, Massimo Bianchi as man with key, Jürgen Bohn as German orderly at party, Verena Baratti as German auxiliary, Roberto Camaro as German executioner, and Nino Consalvi as General Graziosi, Giancarlo Consentino as waiter Ernesto, Aaron Craig as U.S. tank soldier, Alfiero Falomi as king, Daniela Fedke as German auxiliary, Antonio Fome as school janitor, Stefano Frangiapani as card player, Ernst Frauenholzer as German sergeant, Alessandra Grassi as teacher, Hans Hellmann as German corporal, Wolfgang Hillinger as German major at party, Margareta Lucia Krauss as female soldier at children's dinner, Patrizia Lazzarini as woman number one at Grand Hotel, Maria Letizia as woman number two at Grand Hotel, Concetta Lombardo as Gigliola, Maria Rita Massolari as queen, Carlotta Mangione as Eleonora, Franco Mescolini as school inspector, Francesca Messinese as woman at the opera, Inger Lisa Middelthon as German auxiliary, Andrea Nardi as upholsterer, Gunther Fonselter as German soldier, Christiana Porciella as an old maid teacher, Nino Prester as Bruno, Gina Rover as Dora's maid, Laura Rudeberg as German auxiliary, Massimo Salvianti as bookstore policeman, Richard Sammel as German lieutenant at station, James Schindler as German guard, Andrea Tadona as Grand Hotel doorman, Dirk Karsten Vandenberg as German soldier, Giovanna Villa as City Hall secretary, Roberto Dell'Acqua as Mr. Benigni's stand-in, Katia Crispino as Ms. Braschi's stand-in, historical advisor Marcella Pizzetti, Center for Documentation of Contemporary Judaism, Milano, casting Shayla Rubin, English language version, executive producers Agnes Mantre and John S. Rogers Jr., producer John M. Davis, director Rod Dean, voice cast Jonathan Nichols as Guido, Ilaria Borelli as Dora, James Falzone as Joshua, Sam Fontana as Ferruccio, Chip Bolsick as Rodolfo, Nicholas Kepros as Uncle Alessio, Patricia Mosseri as the principal, Cynthia Adler as Dora's mother, Vincenzo Amato as Oreste, Francesca Mari as Eleonora, David Barella as Rodolfo's friend, Edward Furs as school inspector, Silvio Oliviero as bookstore policeman, Francesca DeMauro as secretary, Stephen Skybell as school janitor, Peter McRobbie as prefect, Nick Wyman as Bartolomeo, Felicity LaFortune as Dora's friend, Franca Barchiese as female prisoner, Gian Bertovani as Grand Hotel doorman, Pietro Apicella as Vittorino violin player, Andreas Niedermeyer as German corporal, Judith Jablanca as German cook, Marcus Weiss as male guard, Corinna May, Katrin Zimmerman, and C.J. Hall as female guards, Mark A. Schwartz as U.S. tank soldier, with Horst Buchholz as Dr. Lessing, casting by Hopkins Smith Barden Casting, dubbing adaptation by Stephen Kramer, copyright 1997 Malampo Cinematografica STL Rome.